Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all.
Yesterday in our study of James chapter 5, we were talking about Pharaoh being a type of the world in Scripture and trying to get Moses to compromise what God wanted him to do. Let's continue with that today.
Foundation for the Bible stands. Now, Pharaoh represents the world. Those outside the truth of the Word of God are those of the world. And that's what Pharaoh represents. So often he represents that in Scripture. He tried to get Moses to compromise the worship of God. Do you realize that? That's what Pharaoh was doing the whole time? First, he suggested they worship in Egypt instead of a 3 days journey into the wilderness. Now think about it. He didn't say, hey, you can't offer sacrifices. He didn't say that, hey, you can't name the name of Jehovah. He didn't say that they couldn't worship exactly the way, manner in which they would worship 3 days journey into the wilderness. He just said, worship here. Now, that doesn't sound like a bad thing. So why couldn't Moses compromise? Because God said, 3 days into the wilderness. And then, after that, he said, well, if you go, only go a short distance. Well, what's wrong with that? It's outside the city. And it may not be 3 days, but at least Pharaoh's given in now, and he is compromising with you, and he's going to let you worship the way you want to worship. But God said, 3 days journey. Now, right now everything sounds logical for Pharaoh, in the way modernists would argue about it. Next he said, well, if you must go, leave the children. In other words, you know, children are young, they're little, they don't understand all this stuff about worship, so just leave them behind. Don't make them go to church. Don't make them go with you. Sound logical, didn't it? But that's not what God said. God's will must always be done God's way. Finally, he said, okay, go, but lead the flocks and the herds. Well, how can you offer sacrifices without the flocks and the herds? And again, it was against what God had said. Now, Pharaoh kept making compromises in the eyes of the world. He'd say, okay, if you can't do it here in Egypt, then just go a little bit. And then if you can't just go a little bit, go all the way, but leave the children. And then finally, well, go all the way, take your children, but leave the flocks and herds. Moses remained firm through all those compromised offers in spite of the sufferings of the people, and the people of Israel were suffering. He was faithful, though he was heavily persecuted. And many times, his own people were speaking against him, saying, Moses, drop off what you're preaching, man. You got everybody mad at us. Everybody in the community doesn't like us because of the strong stand you're taking. Moses, you got to let up. But you see, that philosophy is not based in the Word of God. Today, they tell you, well, look, don't look like a church. Don't try to look like a church. You know, make your buildings look like a store or something else. Don't look like a church, because a church-looking building is threatening to the world. Boy, I hope my church is a threat to sin. I really do. I hope it's a threat to worldliness. I really do. I have doubts that it is, but as our churches across the country, but boy, I hope it is. And then they say, well, listen, if the music style is classical, then let that be your church music. If it's country in that community, and that's what they all like, let your church religious music be country. If it's rock, let it be rock. In other words, take on the world look like the world, that you might win them. The only thing you're giving up is repentance and holiness. Well, my friend, that tells us then that we really, 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 when we look at the truth, people saying, well, look, if we do all these things, we're going to have great numbers, but you're not going to have reality of the spiritual life. You're going to have carnal life at best, carnal Christianity. When we have committed ourselves to the righteousness and holiness of God, let us never compromise. Even if it hurts our church, our family, or ourselves. Even if our own grudge against us. And those are heavy words, and I know it is. The better we know the Bible, the better we will know the will of God. The more we know the Bible, the more God's Holy Spirit can encourage us in the difficult experiences of life. The important thing is that as the farmer, we keep working. And as the prophets, we keep witnessing, no matter how trying the experience may be. Now, as the farmer that looks at the sky and says, oh, it might rain today, I'm not going to work. He's not going to have a harvest. Now, notice the word patience again here in verse 10 of James 5. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering, affliction, and of patience. Now, it's different than the words that appeared in verses 7 and 8. Here, it means self-restraint of the mind before it gives room to action and passion. It has the idea here of the power to avenge oneself, but you refrain. Jesus did this with Pilate. Oh, Jesus could have just spoken the words and Pilate would have been a dead man or in much pain. But Jesus held it back. He told us how to do our work. He lets us know that our weapons in this Christian warfare are not carnal. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, every thought that we have is brought into the obedience of Christ. Now, he says our weapons are not carnal. What are our weapons? Well, they're seen in Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Jesus says, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Now, think about that. Love as a weapon, blessing as a weapon, doing good as a weapon, praying for as a weapon. But you're to love those enemies, those people that curse you, those that hate you, those that despitefully use you and persecute you. You're to love, bless, do good, and pray for. Those are the weapons. Now, we find out in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, that these same things that were written about of the Old Testament are for our admonition. These Old Testament prophets are our example. We look at modern day church promotions and campaigns, and I find that men are using terms as user friendly. It's a search to find out ways to feel good about serving God and not having to suffer any persecution, trial, or tribulation. In other words, you simply accept Pharaoh's offer of worship. My friend, that kind of worship is not godly. We see the Laodicean church is developing before our very eyes. That church that said, hey, we're increased with goods. We have need of nothing. Hey, our buildings are full. We have got great, beautiful buildings. We've got this, we've got that, and people coming, we're popular. Hey, we have need of nothing. And God says, no, you're poor, rich, blind, naked, miserable. Wow. God tells them the exact opposite of what they thought they were. And you see, they thought gain is godliness, and it's not. You see, the problem is that the church is made up of individuals, and this affects their eternal rewards. It also eliminates holiness and repentance and obedience while excusing the free exercise of the lust of the flesh and calling it liberty instead of applying Bible liberty to the spirit that is freed now from the shackles of the lust of the flesh. We reshackle ourselves to our lust with the word liberty. Oh, the devil is such a deceiver. You'll even hear men on the radio and TV calling anybody a legalist that has standards. They may even tell you, look, I've got liberty to have a bottle of wine in my refrigerator. Why are they applying liberty to the flesh? Can you imagine saying, I have liberty to have a bottle of wine in the refrigerator to take a social drink? Okay, then let's keep you honest to your word. Okay, be honest now. You said you got liberty. There's nothing wrong with that. Okay, now, in total honesty, let's say you have an 8-year-old child or grandchild in your house. They say, I just want to drink. I don't want to drink a whole bottle. I don't want to get drunk. I just want to social drink with you. Are you going to let that 8-year-old drink? Now, if you're consistent, you are. If you have that liberty, then you're going to let them drink. But you see, my friend, your argument begins to break down. Why? Because you're applying Bible liberty to the flesh instead of to the spirit. Don't be shackled by the flesh, my friend. Be free in the spirit of God. That's God's way, and that should be our way. The life of any man who lives in the will of God in this lifetime will be persecution and trial. Romans 8:18 and 28 says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. But if things are working to the good, that means that right now I'm going through some bad experiences, okay? And things are tough. And there are sufferings of this present time, and therefore we need to have our heart set on eternity. And that's where we need to look at James 1, verse 12, that says, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Staying patient, staying true, staying holy brings a crown of life. Look unto eternity. And this is a person that will shine throughout all eternity if he endures with patience. This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you would like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address, and include the radio station by which you are listening, and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website, and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.com. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible says.